We have a fantasy master ready to talk about the Greek Derby and everything else. Do you want to find who it is? Tune in to the yearly Fantasy Challenge podcast. Welcome back to the yearly Fantasy Challenge podcast. My name is Javi Gancedo. I'm afraid our regular host, Frankie Sachs, cannot be with us today. But we have Vasiliki Karamusa. Vasiliki, what's up?
Hello, Javi. Good to see you again. We miss Frankie, but we will substitute him with someone really special. What do you think?
Yeah, well, it's one of our very special guests. Can you tell us a little bit about it and please introduce him?
Of course. He is the winner, the first winner of our Be Our Guest campaign. The first person that will be alongside with us in this yearly Fantasy Challenge podcast. His name is Lazar Hristov. He's coming from Serbia. And you might have crossed upon his social media platforms under the name Fantasy Master. Lazar, welcome on board. How are you?
Hello, everyone. Thank you for having me. It's a great responsibility to fill in for Frankie. he is a staple here. And yes, it will be a great fun to be here, but a great responsibility as well. And thank you for having me. Yes, Fantasy Master is our project that we are very proud of, bringing a lot of people, mainly from Serbia. But we have started to have a lot more following all across Europe to bring everyone who likes Fantasy EuroLeague together and to have fun while playing Fantasy EuroLeague as well.
You have more than 25,000 followers on Instagram, 27,000 followers on YouTube. Tell us a little bit about how this project started. Was it your idea? When did you start? How it kept growing?
Well, actually, it's an idea that I've already had in mind for some time now, a couple of years. I have a lot of friends who play Fantasy EuroLeague and Premier League. Shout out to people who follow football as well. Well, they have started their own Instagram page and YouTube channel, Fantasy Mastery, and they've been doing it for 2 years. And then in 2023, I got an idea to create the EuroLeague side of things. So the same project, but for the EuroLeague. I've been watching EuroLeague ever since, like, I was 6 years old, ever since I started playing basketball. And it was only natural to just try to bring that to a lot more people and try to analyze the games to the best of my abilities and, again, have fun doing so. And having such a big community is a gift because fantasy, as you guys know, can be frustrating at times. So having a lot of people having fun, making jokes, can make it easier for us and for everyone else as well.
I was going to ask you, how long have you been playing the Fantasy Challenge and what's the best part about it?
I've been playing it even before it was a Fantasy EuroLeague Challenge. That was another kind of project before that. But it's been, I think, 6 years now, seven maybe. So yeah, I've been playing it for a long time. I've been enjoying it. It's getting better every season. There are, of course, a couple of things that we wish are different, but maybe that's a talk for the next season. The best part about it is just the fun that we have watching games, trying to anticipate the performance of different players. The captain having double the points, I think, is the way to go instead of the last year's 1.5x. It makes a big difference, of course. So it's the fun of the game and enjoying it on another level.
Yeah, it's amazing how players that wouldn't get noticed like too much without the game, they're relevant. Like, I'm going to put an example. The other day I went to the gym. One of the monitors plays the Fantasy Challenge. We spent 5 minutes talking about Cavalieri, for instance, which is something that I wouldn't think of like in any other situation.
There's another one. We have a great talk. In our last episode that we did, we had a couple of friends coming to the studio, and we spent 10 minutes talking about, I think his name is Eugene. Maybe I'm spelling it, pronouncing it wrong, but Eugene Omorui. We spent 10 minutes talking about his performance. And if you have asked me 3 or 4 years ago, would I be talking about him for so long? I don't think so.
Never. That's a fact.
I have a last question for Lazar. How do you approach the fantasy? Like, based on data, based on matchups, based on instincts, with heavily superstars?
Well, I tried to approach it analytically more than on the like a guess or a feeling, because we are now like have we now have a responsibility to bring that data, bring that analysis to people. This year, I took a little bit of a gamble in some places, in some rounds, as you said, like going for the feeling in my guts. And sometimes it pays off, sometimes it doesn't. But yeah, my approach is more analytical. But whenever I give advice to people, I tend to say that you should go with your gut sometimes. Take matchups into consideration, take the trends, the injuries, that's important, and never miss a head coach.
That's very important.
That sounded like towards me, and I don't appreciate it very much, but it's okay. I have broken the curse, I can say that.
It bothers me the fact that they always talk about Dos Equis, because I always say it's the coach. Like I haven't had a positive coach for I don't know how many weeks, and nobody talks about it. Anyway, let's get the show started. Let's talk about the last round and what happened, and the winners, losers, and question marks. All right, let's begin with winners. Who wants to go? Well, we have a guest. We should be polite with our guest. Lazar, who's your winner for this round?
Our followers may be a little bit surprised with who I'm going for, but it's Nadir Hifi. He has been very consistent in the last 5 or 6 rounds, and his matchup is against Baskonia now. I think he had a great game last time they played. Of course, it was in Paris, now it's in Vitoria, but considering that they have lost so badly against Valencia, and Javi, you have anticipated it well. After the celebrations and everything, after the domestic cup, I think that that can translate now to this game as well. Nadir Hifi has improved his game a lot this season. He's not only shooting three-pointers anymore, he can assist, he can go and draw a lot of fouls. So I think for the price of a little bit under 15 credits, I guess that he could have another 20 plus PIR in this game as well. So yeah, he could be our winner that can stay consistent for the next couple of games. And also Paris has kind of a good matchups that follow Baskonia as well,
Yeah, I
especially
agree.
for Hifi.
I agree. I consider him. I went in another direction, but we'll find out soon. That's my winner of the round. But first, let's talk to Vasiliki. Vasiliki, who's your winner?
I'll go with Talen Horton-Tucker. I didn't have him on my team, unfortunately. I had Wade Baldwin and Tarik Biberovic, and I was a little bit, or more than a little bit, disappointed on how they performed, because I was heavily dependent on them for my team's performance last week. But Talen Horton-Tucker came in and saved the day for Fenerbahce. He amounted more than 36 fantasy points, and he has been consistent all this time, even though he's a EuroLeague newcomer. It's his first season out of the NBA, but he is always there. When the team needs him, he's always there. So I think that will be the case coming towards the last part of the season as well.
About Baldwin, when he had a PIR of 7, the first thing that I thought is, where's Sasha when you need him? I was like, okay, turn two, no problem, because I have no, I'm done. And then I really had to think it through, like who to put the T2 captain. It was very difficult. My winner of the round is, of course, Jan Montero. He's been amazing after this game that he had in Tel Aviv against Hapoel. He's been unstoppable, and he had a really good game against Baskonia. It was very clear that Valencia would be the heavy favorite to win that game because of all the celebrations Baskonia had after winning the Spanish Cup. But Montero was really solid. He had 20 points and 24 PAR, and I think that's just the start. He's going to be playing great until the end of the season, and he's going to prove it against Žalgiris. That's why he's my winner. What do you think, guys? Do you think that Montero could have a more difficult game against Žalgiris with very good, defenders in the guard position?
The defenders are solid. I like Montero. I was waiting for him to go into the EuroLeague competition and that level of. He had a rough start of the season, but he picked up the pace, and I think he can go against any matchup, have a good night, So yeah, while Žalgiris is a little bit of a tough matchup for him, I think he can bring about solid points on board even against Žalgiris. Well, they play in Roig Arena, so I guess that can happen as well this round too.
I'm on the same page. Like, I think even on a not so great game, he won't be negative.
Let's talk about losers then. There's a very obvious one, and Vasiliki is going to point it out.
I'm sorry to say that, but I have to go with Alec Peters. When Sasha was out, I think many people turned to Alec Peters saying there's the minutes and there's the opportunity, as Frankie would have said. He played more than 30 minutes, I think, but he had only 2 out of 11 field goals and minus two in his PIR. And I think that hurt a lot of people, including myself, because I made a change very last minute. It wasn't my initial plans. So I deeply regret it.
Well, that proves that the yearly fantasy challenge is not A plus B equals C. Like sometimes when the obvious choice can go wrong. And Lazar, I guess that you have some examples of that. But did you have Alec Peters this week?
I must say that it was the guts that we talked about in the beginning that made me sway away from him because there was a lot of talk that he could be a good replacement for Sasha. My reason was that he didn't get a lot of minutes this season, and having Sasha in front of you may be a little bit overwhelming for such a player. And of course, because he is mostly a shooter, not being so consistent with minutes and with the form can take a toll on you and hit on you when the time comes for you to shine. So that's why I stayed away from him personally. I expected a little bit more from McKissick for 4.7 credits or something like that. Didn't happen, which was okay. Not a great hit, but yeah, Peters sh needs to have a couple more games under his belt to just show his true potential. He is a great shooter, but he needs some time.
All right, well, Lazar, tell us about your loser then.
My loser this week is, well, last week was Will Clyburn. I think that he was the one who brought Barca down and allowed Virtus to overcome their difficulties. We talked about him on our show, him and Shengelia, who could be more efficient. I went for Shengelia, even though he was a little bit more expensive. But I didn't expect Will Clyburn to be that bad. I expected a lot more from him in that game. He is struggling a little bit with his form as well now. So playing against Milan could be another tough matchup for him.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
It's
He had
gonna.
a great game. He had a great game the last time they played. Great. Six, I think it was about 16 PAR. But yeah, it could be tough again.
Anything to add, Vasiliki?
No, I think he's too expensive to trust him when you're not 100% sure that he's gonna play and he's worth of his money. So I would stay away from him.
All right. Well, my loser is the Isaiah Mike of FC Bayern Munich. One of my favorite players, but he had a PAR of -4 in Madrid. Not his night. He's been up and down all season, and well, up and down is a good reason not to choose him in the fantasy challenge. Okay, he'll have good days and days will have PAR of 20 or more, but with you never know. And this time he had a really, let's say, subpar game. Bayern is a really tricky fantasy team, right, Lazar? I mean, it's you never know what to expect, other than Andy Ost being great, which has been amazing, especially in the last 5 or 6 rounds.
Yeah, Andy Obst has been fantastic. As Coach Pešić would say, he is a great defender as well. And he also said good penetrator, and he is an amazing guy. He is on fire. He can be deadly. Of course, Bayern will have a tough crowd coming to Belgrade against Crvena Zvezda. He will most likely be the focus of the defense. But if he gets hot, if Zvezda allows too many open shots, it can be lights out for him. And he could bring about 20 plus PAR. But yeah, it's a good gamble, in my opinion, to
Yeah.
trust him.
Yeah, I agree. Well, let's move on to question marks. Let me go first because that's, I think, the definition of a question mark, which is TA shorts of Panathinaikos Actor Athens. Why? Because Kendrick Nang is back. Nigel Hayes-Davies is beginning to have a big role in the team. Matthias de Sorg could be back. And okay, TA shorts is playing well, but is he going to keep his momentum going with all these stars coming back or getting to the team? I don't know. That's why he's a question mark. I have him on my team. I didn't trade him, and I'm wondering if that's a good decision or not. Not talking about this fantasy podcast team. I'm talking about a different team. But yeah, that's my question mark. I don't know, guys. What do you think? Can you help me with this?
I'd say that because Panathinaikos is playing Olympiacos and they played recently in the Greek Cup, TJ was out of the rotation because of the limitation of foreign players. So maybe he can be an ace under Ataman's sleeve, someone that Olympiacos is not expecting to play this much, and maybe he can come in and change the momentum. But again, when they played in Oaka in January 2nd, TJ started, and that allowed Tyler Dorsey to get hot right away because he was shooting over him because he has bigger size than TJ. So I don't expect him to start, but maybe sometime during the course of the game, he can come in and score some points. But I don't expect him to play heavy minutes.
Greek derby is always tricky, but yeah, I think that Sloukas, Nan, Nigel will be the main points of Panathinaikos, and TJ Shorts could be, as Vasiliki said, a surprise, a pleasant one, but it's a big question mark, as Javi said.
Speaking on question marks and returns, we have some injuries, especially related to the Greek Derby. I guess that Sasha Vesenkov is going to be back. We don't know about Nikola Milutinov. He may be back or not. And of course, Kendrick Nunn, who was sick last week, unless the sickness is huge, he's going to play, of course. And it's the Greek Derby. Everybody has to be available. Vasiliki, a lot of injuries and not injuries and returns around the Greek Derby, right?
Yeah, as you said, we don't know exactly the status of Nikola Milutinov. That's why he's my question mark. Because if he's good to go, he changes a lot. The rotation of bigs from Olympiakos, most likely he would be him and Tyreek Jones in the lineup, and Donta Hall might sit this one out. But if Nikola isn't 100% ready, I don't think Coach Bartzokas will risk it this time, because he needs to have other options and maybe depend more on his perimeter guys. So that's why this is a question mark for me. I don't think we will know until very last minute or the day before the game, or even very last minute.
The million-dollar question here, Lazar, is Matthias Lesort. Like Panathinaikos has released Omerjian 7 that gives you an idea that Lesort is ready to play. But how ready is he? Do you expect big numbers from him right away?
Well, because since Panathinaikos has both Farid and Holmes ready for the game, I'm not sure that this derby could be the game that Lesort gets back into the competitive level. For me, the most reasonable thing would be to maybe take Lesort in through the Greek League or some maybe a little bit less intense games. And especially if Milutinov is out, which might be expected, then there may be it's not a must to put Lesor back into the lineup. So I don't think, especially because he costs 12.5 credits, I think that we should wait. I've said that for Kerlique Jones for the last round, and then he was the most efficient guy on the Partizan team. So yeah, it's a tricky one, but I think that I will wait Lesor out until he gets a couple of games under his belt, just to see his status. It's a very tricky injury. It's been a long time. And yeah, I think we should wait.
Man, I don't know. It's Nigel Hayes-Davies' first game. He has a PAR of 30. Josh Neebo comes back from injury. He has a PAR of 24. Carlick Jones, same, PAR of 22. It looks like the players who are coming back are coming back in shape. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's a
Anyway,
good trend.
yeah. Well, two more. I want to talk about two more injuries. Let me talk about the first one myself, which is Radion Kuroks. He's been missing the last couple of games for Baskonia. And Tadasse de Kerskis is also injured, which means it's a big opportunity, I think, in fantasy for Timothy Luabu Cabarrot. I think he's a must-have player right now, or at least it's very important to consider him. And, well, we'll see. But he's been super consistent all season long, and it would be one of, let's say, secret fantasy weapons this week. Vasiliki, what do you think?
Yeah, I think a lot of people will try to get back Sasa Vezenkov because they all need to sell him out last week because he was not playing. But if for any reason Sasa is not back, then all of a sudden you need to look for other very good and reliable forward options, and TLC could be one of them.
I know Lazar is, I wouldn't say obsessed, but he likes all the FS situation when it comes to guards. Mm-hmm. And, well, Shane Larkin may be back, but they have a lot of guards. How do you fit Shane Larkin into the puzzle?
Yeah, Shane Larkin is a big question mark. I chose PJ Dozier as my question mark for this round just because Larkin might be back, and that might disrupt the minutes that each of the guards in FS play. It was Saben Lee for a long time. I was fortunate enough to bring him in as soon as he got into FS from Olympiakos. And that was very fruitful. But if I may add to that point, is that PJ Dozier got an increase in minutes starting from the Turkish Cup onwards. He was a very big part of the FS. Well, they lost in semifinals, but he played a lot of minutes, around 30 minutes. And then he played 32 minutes against Zvezda, being the most efficient guy on the team. Maybe now we start to see the shift from Saben Lee over to PJ Dozier, who is, I think, even cheaper than him. Yes, Shane Larkin coming back can be, as I said, a little bit less of an opportunity for him, but he can play at the two position and he may get his shots. He can draw a lot of fouls. So yeah, I think at 8.1 credits, that's a good price for him, especially if Larkin doesn't play again.
I see. Well, we look back, it's time to look forward. Let's see what's going on in next games. Okay, so plenty of things to talk about. Where should we start? Vasiliki, what do you think about the Greek Derby? Let's start by then. We kind of discussed everything, but is there anything that we're missing?
I think a lot of people might consider what's going on with Nigel Hayes-Davies and Sasa Vezenkov, because usually Nigel gives Sasa trouble on defense, but in the Greek Cup final, Nigel didn't start and Sasa was hot right away, so he might still have minutes without Nigel on the court and still be very productive. So I wouldn't worry about Vezenkov. If he's healthy, he's on my team. But so is Nigel, because in his first game, he had a PR of 30 and he basically saved my team because he was my turn two captain. So he saved me from a big disaster. Not that it was a good week, but you get the point. As you already mentioned, maybe Matthias is back, but I wouldn't expect him to play a lot. I think if he is back, he will most likely be back in the lineup for psychological reasons, so he can get a taste of the derby and all that. But I wouldn't expect him to play more than 8 to maximum 10 minutes in two sets of 4 or 5 minutes each time. So I wouldn't go with him right away.
All right. Well, it's a run of great games. Remember, if a game is not played for whatever reason, the players get average points. And, well, it's a different part of the strategy, right, Lazar? Like getting to choose players who you know they're not going to play, but they're going to give you a certain amount of points.
Yeah, we know that two games might be postponed. Maybe we will see about that in coming days. But Partizan Dubai, Maccabi Hapoel, those players can be interesting if their average scores are considered and if we get their average points. And I have pointed out to four players, Elijah Bryant, Kabengele, Alex Savramovic, and Lundberg, which I think those four players have a good average points to their price ratio. And Elijah Bryant, especially, well, he is in my team, so I'm not changing him anytime soon. I couldn't wait for him to get back into the lineup. And Kabengele has been having an amazing season. for 15 credits, 15.7, 8.5, 18.5 average fantasy points is, I think, a good one. But Elijah is 22 points for sure. Just give me that.
Well, we'll see. I mean, if it's played, I mean, whether the game is played or not, Elijah Brown is always a very reliable player. So especially in a situation like the Tel Aviv Derby, I mean, it's solid goal when it comes to fantasy. We have the rematch of the yearly championship game last season, Fenerbahce against Monaco. And that means that two very good friends, Wade Baldwin and Mike James, are going to play against each other. What do you guys think? Is their friendship going to affect their game? I guess not, but you never know.
Well, Mike didn't have a great game last week, and it was the first one in many, many games in a row. So I think he will try to bounce back right away. Same as Baldwin, he was below his average. I think both of them will be very eager to be productive. Monaco needs the wins. Fener needs the wins to stay at the top of the standings. So I think the motive is there, and even a little friendly banter between them can help both.
Interesting. Well, moving on, we have Valencia against Zalgiris, two of the hardest teams in the EuroLeague this season. Nobody expected, or few people expected them to be so high in the standings, but there they are, and they're going to play each other in Roche Arena. It's also an opportunity to see Gian Montero against Sylvain Francisco, but Lazar, probably Moses Wright is the player to watch.
He is on my team, and I'm not going to change him. He has been great so far, and the thing that Masiulis talked about a couple of rounds ago, which was a lack of rim protection, now he is starting to do that too. He has stepped his level up defensively as well. He's getting a lot of minutes. And I think that, as you've said before the podcast, we talked a little bit about it, but Valencia lacking those physical centers, apart from maybe Sacco, that's a good opportunity for Moses Wright to keep his performance on a high level and maybe get us another 20-plus point rounds.
Moving on, we have Espesa against Bayern Munich. And Vasiliki, I really think Chima Moneke is like a really good option, but every time I try to sign Moneke, everything goes wrong. I don't know if I should go for him or not, but on paper, I think he has a good advantage and a good opportunity to play really well.
Well, if you sign him on your team, then he might not live up to the expectations of this game. So please stay away from him for all the people that want to have Moneke on their teams. Moneke, Nuora, Cody Miller-McIntyre, they're all having pretty great seasons and not many ups and downs. So I think each one of them can be a good pick.
All right, and finally, Real Madrid hosts Virtus Bologna. Looks like Eddie Tavares could be a very good, very good option. But Lazar, you have somebody else in mind in the opposite team in Virtus.
I want to shout out my co-host from our show, Petar, who couldn't attend our episode last time, but he messaged me as we were filming. Luka Vildoza, since Daniel Hackett is out for a couple of weeks, Paiola too, he could be a good substitution for them at under 10 credits, and he delivered. Of course, Real Madrid in Spain is always a tough matchup, but if he has 6-7 assists and a couple more points without too many fouls and without too many misses, that's another very fruitful night for him. So I think that he could have another good night. Exactly 9.5 credits is a good price for him. So yeah, a bit of a gamble, but I think it could be fruitful again.
You know what? Why don't we take a look at our teams and discuss the trades that we made? All right, I'm going to go second because Lazar is our guest. Vasiliki is the star, so I'm going to go second. So please, Lazar, tell us about the players that you traded for.
Well, it's Monday when we're filming, and that's usually a little bit too early for me to make any changes for my team. But since we're filming it on Monday, I made a few changes considering the possibility of the two games not being played. I had Moses Wright and Omorui, unfortunately. I didn't listen to you, Javi. I had Omarui on my team last time. I also had Baldwin, which are my two mistakes from last week. So instead of Baldwin, Forrest, and Omarui, I brought Kabengele, Cody Miller-McIntyre, and Dozier, one of our question marks. And as my coach, I brought in Lasso, which maybe we will talk about later. But Kabengele is one of those people, one of those players who we talked about as the average points. I also have Elijah on my team, so those are the reasons. Cody is one of the most important players of Crvena Zvezda. He can score double-doubles, and that's why he's on my team now as well. I think Bayern could be another good game for him, especially because they play at home. And Dozier, we talked about it already. So it will probably change until Thursday, but this is what I'm going for now.
I like the fact that you have three turn one players who are like superstars.
Going all out.
If all them have a good score, then the problem is like who to put in turn two that can actually deliver and who to leave on the bench. But I don't know. Vasiliki, how do you like his team?
I like it. I like it a lot, to be honest. Kabengele, if the game is played, if the game is not played, he's a great choice. Same as Moses, right? So having two great centers always helps, because that's usually the most tricky position. And I like the two options from Zvezda as well. I'm not sure about the coach, but who am I to talk about coaches?
All right, you want to see my team? I took a lot of risks. I have very unconventional players this time. So let's see if you like it. It's going to be interesting. Well, first, I have to say that, yes, I'm going for Chima Moneke. He's my biggest choice of the week. I'm also getting Moses Wright. And I'm getting Sergio de la Rea, which is at 4 crates. I'm surprised. Then I saw that he's not playing that much in the EuroLeague, but I have three really good guards. So that's why I'm picking de la Rea to put him on the bench just in case. I traded Kabengele, Goodrich, and Pietrus, basically three players who underperformed in round 29. I have to see if finally I keep Kabengele or not, depending on the circumstances. So my team is going to be Baldwin, McKinley Wright, Biberovic, Moses Wright, Fernando, and De La Rea in turn one. And for turn two, I have Cavaliere, who I love. He's one of my favorite players, like I said. Jordan Lloyd is my guard of choice in FS. He comes off a really good stretch with Poland in the windows. Moneke and Nuora. We'll see. Good players in turn one, good players in turn two. And we'll see. What do you guys think? No Besenkov, no Hayes Davis, no nothing.
Does Sasha know that he's not on your team?
Not yet. I guess he'll watch the podcast and then I'll
please
have
forward me his message, please.
He'll text me and say, "What the hell? I miss a run and then you lose all the faith." Yes, I did. No, just kidding.
To be honest, I like looking at the teams that have no Sasha Vezenko, because that gives you a lot more choice.
Yeah.
To think about some more cheaper players and maybe have a lot more players performing, but it's a difficult job to guess them as well. And Sasha has been consistent, so yeah, it's a game of two different tactics.
Last week I traded Sasha because he was injured. I got Golematch, who was like 5 crates, and then I saw the money that I had remaining. It's like, wow, I'm rich.
This is great. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right. Well, Vasiliki, we can wait. Let's see about your team.
Okay, I'm assuming that Sasa will play, so he was the main player that needed to get back on my lineup. So a lot of my investment went to Sasa Vezenkov. I also got Cody Miller-McIntyre and Andres Feliz. And I listened to Frankie's advice and Gurlavai for the end of my bench, just in case. 4 credits, he can bring something to my team instead of a zero. So we will see how that goes. So right now I have Fernando, Gurlavi, Biberovic, Feliz, Baldwin, and Oturu starting. I'm not sure which center I should start because both of them are playing, or maybe I should change my lineup and leave Gurlavi at the end of my bench because I don't expect much of him, and have two centers and then choose who's going out. I have Nigel Hayes-Davis, I got Andy Obst, who was ill and didn't play last minute, and that also hurt my team last week. Cody Miller-McIntyre, Sasa Vezenkov, who probably will get into the lineup. but we will see.
That's Hayes Davis, Obst, Miller, McIntyre. That's a pretty deep bench, huh?
Yeah.
A hefty one, yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's take a look at our captains. Who do you have as captains? Lazar, you go first.
Yeah, you've mentioned that I have three players for turn one. Those are both, well, all those are all premium players. They can all be captains, to be honest. But if the games are played regularly, I would probably put Cabangele as my captain. Otherwise, it would be Moses Wright. Cabangele has been consistently great against Partizan in EuroLeague and Abaleague games, so he would be my captain of choice if the games are played. If not, as I told you, it would be Moses Wright, since he would be the only one actually playing in turn one. So yeah, that's for turn one. And for turn two, well, then that's that's a little bit tricky. Maybe it could be Nawara, maybe it could be Cody, but we will see about that. That's a little bit of a long way ahead of us for turn two.
Vasiliki, please, your captain choices.
We'll go with Wade Baldwin again, even though she hurt me last week. I expect him to bounce back. And I also expect that I don't need to change my captain for turn two, so because that will be a tricky choice between Vazekov and Nigel Hayes-Davis. But I think I will go with the usual suspect, which is Sasa, of course.
And finally, I'm also going with Baldwin. I don't think he's going to have back-to-back, let's say, subpar games. He had 17 points the other day, but only it's PR of 7. His shooting selection wasn't the best, but I think he's going to bounce back. And if not, then I go big or go home. I'm going with Chima Moneke, and we'll see what happens. But I'm really confident that Moneke is going to have a great game, so that's why I'm choosing him. And even if Baldwin plays so-so and has a PR of 20, 22, I'm still trying to get Moneke. So that's my move.
Didn't Chima have a negative score the last time you chose him as your captain?
No, but I remember, I'll never forget the last season he played against Alba when he was in Baskonia. And I thought he was going to have like a monster PR, and he had -5.
The only thing I want from this round is for Asvel not to beat Efes again. Because that hurt us a lot last time, those two. It was the Bastien Vautier's greatest night, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Don't get me started on that. Well, and speaking on FS, let's see about our head coaches. Vasiliki, you're first. Of course, everybody wants to know about your head coach.
Of course, everybody wants to know about my head coach. But in my defense, the two coaches I picked last week, and I say two because I had one in the show and then I ended up having another one, both won their games. So I think I'm good now. Initially, I had Sasa Obradovic, but with Vazenkov out, I needed to change my team completely. And then I ended up with Jurica Golematz. And this is the coach that I'm sticking with this week, unless something happens. He's going to be there. Dubai is really pushing to make it to the play-ins. And I think that's a game that they can win as well. So I'm sticking with Golematz.
Not bad. Lazar, I think you have a really good taste when it comes to coachings.
We have a very similar taste, and I hope we are not wrong, because, yeah, we're going to have maybe a lot of backlash because people are still scarred from the last card from the last game that these two. I think Lasso had more than 30% of ownership in that round, and it got -5. But I think that Efes showed a lot of potential, even though they lost the game against Zvezda. There were some hiccups when it comes to the offense, but Asvel is just a couple of levels below Zvezda right now. Efes is playing at home. So I think that Pablo Lasso could be a great choice for such a low price.
Yeah, me too. I think he's the guy. Also, in the next round, he plays Bayern on the road. Very special game for him. So yeah, let's hope that well, Lasso wins, and then we get enough points to compete well against Vasiliki, who is leading the three of us. We'll see what happens.
Still, after what I had last week?
I think so, yeah. You're still ahead by a few number of points.
Okay.
Anyway, it's Frankie Sack's favorite part of the show, Vasiliki.
Well, it's Get Future, Get Rewarded, as you already know. And we have February's winner, who's coming from Greece. His name is Nikolas Papagiorgiou. Congratulations, Nikos. Keep going. We're glad to see you winning EuroLeague prizes. And you can all scan the QR code, submit your questions, your dilemmas, your bold predictions for us, and maybe get the chance to win next time.
So we have three questions. The first one is for Lazar. Our guest is from Goran Nujic, and he says that his hot take is that we will get Fener Panathinaikos in the playoffs, and Fener will go to the Final Four alongside with Cervena Zvezda, Real Madrid, and Olympiacos. What do you think, Lazar?
That's towards me. I know that's towards me. That's directed towards me for a couple of reasons. But yeah, I'm not sure about Crvena Zvezda, although I would like to see a Serbian club in the Final Four. I agree to a certain degree that Panathinaikos might not get into Final Four this season. Sorry, Vasiliki. But
it's not up to me. It's up to them.
Yeah. Real Madrid is the club that, however they play, they're always up for grabs for the Final Four. And, of course, they're in a very good place right now. They've lost only one game at home this season after 14 games there. So, yeah, I see Olympiacos. I see Real Madrid, potentially. Fenerbahce, I would hope so. That's the club I'm rooting for outside of Serbia. Šaras is... I love that guy. As for Crvena Zvezda, okay, let's hope that we see a Serbian club, but I'm not too sure about that.
Interesting. I have a question for Vasiliki from, I hope I say it right, Bill Maclaras?
Yes, okay. Sounds Greek.
Okay, yeah. Spanoulis will be the greatest coach in the history of EuroLeague. That's a bold statement.
Wow. Okay. Okay. The first glimpses of him as a coach are very promising, to say the least, especially what he does with the Greek national team and also taking a team mid-season last year and taking them to the Final Four. It sounds very promising, but to overcome like Obradovic, or Ivanovic, or like, I don't know who you think it's the best coach ever. But
there's only one.
Who?
Zeljko, of course.
Zeljko. Okay, some say Duda as well.
I have a question.
Duda is high level, but as far as EuroLeague goes, I think it's Zeljko.
I have a question, though. If you combine playing career and coaching career in 20 years' time, do you think that Saras will have a better career than Spanoulis or the other way around?
Oh, okay. No, don't ask us that.
Sure.
I can answer.
Yes, he can. For me.
I'm going to say Spanoulis. Let's see.
I think because Šaras is Željko's disciple, I'm not just advocating Željko at that this time, but he is his disciple. He played under him. He learned to coach under him. We can see glimpses of Željko's system in Šaras's. In the way Šaras plays the game, the switch heavy defense and such. So I think that in maybe 10, 20 years time, when you combine playing career and coaching career, I think it could be Šaras.
Okay, my question is from Vytenis Kalauskas of Lithuania. Hey, Vytenis. Are you still in the trophy cup or are you already eliminated? And still in, congratulations, eliminated then when? I got eliminated in the group stage, unfortunately. Well, I have three teams. One of them made it to the Trophy Cup playoffs, a team called Polonara Warriors. Shout out to Achille Polonara, who's back on track and great to hear. I got eliminated in the first round. Somebody scored something like 190 points and took me out of the competition. But this getting to its final stages. Let's see who wins the Trophy Cup. It's going to be amazing to find out. So, Get Fit, You Get Rewarded continues. We have a winner for February, but you can be our next winner. Just scan the QR code. Send us questions, bold predictions, send us yearly stories. Even nobody sent a yearly story, but we will be happy to hear yours and anything you want. We're here to help you and to answer your questions. So just find it now. And before we wrap this up, here are the winners of the EuroLeague Panini Official Sticker Collection. Leo Alvarez, Cristiano Sadomenas, Anthony Elliott, and Sandra Odovan. Congratulations to all of you. And that's it. Lazar, thank you very much for joining us. It's been a pleasure. Good luck to Fantasy Mastery. We'll keep an eye on you and on your team, and let's see if the predictions that you made and the trades that you made this week are the right ones.
Thank you very much for having me. You guys are doing a great job, and we're following you from the very start. And I hope that we can bring a lot more people playing Fantasy EuroLeague in the future. I know we will. So yeah, I'm very happy that we're working together, and I can't wait for everything that this season is bringing to us. And I wish everyone 200+ fantasy point rounds. And
Wow.
also, if that's okay, before we go, there is someone that has been biting me from the very start of our episode, and that is my little puppy, Nala, which wants to
Hello,
say hi. Yeah,
Nala.
she loves Fantasy EuroLeague. Yeah, she's eager to put Sasha Vezenkov back into her lineup. So yeah, and he
That's
is
my
biting me to see
girl.
why haven't I mentioned Sasha Vezenkov yet? So yeah.
Does she
Yeah.
have her own fantasy team?
Of course she has. Of course
Okay.
she doesn't let me see it, and she doesn't let me in on her secrets, but yeah, I think she's doing a good job.
Perfect. Thank you very
Great.
much.
Thanks a lot,
Thank you.
Vasiliki. Any final words? I hope you enjoy the Greek Derby. I know you're gonna be there, so I'm gonna be
Yes.
jealous.
Yes, I will
Me
be
too.
there. And if Sasha has a great game, I will make sure to pass along his message to you, Javi.
Nice. Always, I was thinking of me. That's great. All right. Well, that's a wrap. Please like the podcast, subscribe to the podcast. Leave us some comments on YouTube. Frankie and I will be ready to answer to all of them. Remember, we're in YouTube, in every audio platform, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, everywhere. Podcasts can be heard. You can find us, and see you next week in the EuroLeague Fantasy Challenge podcast.